The Money Show. Business Unusual.
Where do you work from? Do you go to the office every day? Do you clock in at 8 and clock out at 5? You sit in the traffic on the way in, you sit in the traffic on the way home. And how much does it make you want to end your own life because it is so soul-destroying and crippling to your well-being, your emotional and physical and mental well-being? Colin Cullis, are employers beginning to come to terms with this idea that you can be perfectly present at work without actually being physically present?
I wish I knew, Bruce. It's half the reason why this is the second go we're having at this whole from the office, from work. But most recently, or a piece out in the last week or two, was saying, look, the office sort of idea and where people are working in offices has really not holding up as well as we hoped. And interruptions are the things that are making people really not happy, let alone the commuting, the stuck with colleagues you don't want and all their weird and wonderful things. So this evening I thought I'd pick this up again, because the last time we talked about it was after IBM, who is famous for saying we can let our staff work anywhere, in February said we want you all to come back to the office and you must all work from the offices. So that's very confusing. And so for a business owner or person who is responsible for managing offices, I thought, can I get some pointers for how better to understand how you should organize your staff? And the starting point, I suppose, should be that most people actually don't want to work in offices. I did a poll in April. I did the same poll this evening. And again, most people are still looking for a mix preferring to work from home. And I suspect that's because most of them can't. The predominant way that offices in South Africa are set up are people have to come into an office, and invariably when they come to the office, they're open plan offices. And so here's a useful way that you can tell whether or not you should have somebody in the office or not, and that is whether or not the output that they need to do is an individual productivity thing or a team productivity thing. So in your case, Bruce, you need to have great questions for the subject you're going to be discussing, and you need to know what you're talking about. You don't necessarily need anybody else to do that with. So you can work anyway.
My producers are very helpful and very useful people. But there's no reason why we couldn't do it on Skype or via a telephone call.
Well, exactly. So this is the point, though, that the quality of your work is dependent on how much you do yourself. It is enhanced when you collaborate with others. I'm not taking away that, you know, anybody works on an island here, but there's some that require more or less. If, for example, you were a rugby player and you said, don't worry, I'll work from home.
I see the problem.
Yeah, okay. Yes. So that's the kind of thing. So your first thing is, do you need this team productivity or do you need individual productivity?
Yeah.
So now you move to the office, and this is where it can get confusing, because anybody that's principally involved in individual productivity, let them choose. Let them work from a coffice is probably the term you know as well. These are people who work out of sort of public spaces, the office in a coffee shop kind of thing, or work from home or a mix and come into the office on some days or be flexible with the time. Just let them do what they want to do. Odds are, if you trust them, they will get the job done better than anybody else. But if you put them in an office, then an interesting thing called the Allen curve comes about. And this is a study that was done in the late 70s. It was done specifically with sort of scientists and engineers, but it's been updated since. And it found that if you want people to collaborate and communicate, you've got to put them physically close together. You've got sort of a distance up to 50 meters. And as you move further away, so you communicate less and less, till at about 50 meters, you could basically not be in the same building anymore. You're effectively remote.
Yeah, but you know as well as I do that the vast majority of people in an open plan office, they can be sitting opposite each other, would sooner email than get up and walk around the desk and have a conversation. I mean, I'm sorry, the Allen curve, I would challenge that, or are you going to shoot me down?
Well, no, I'm not. That goes to how people have set up their offices, not whether or not these principles apply. So if you've got people who have a team output and they're working together, rather than they're just sitting in a big open plan office and says, well, you guys are all invested in making widgets, or you guys are all responsible for writing stuff, or whatever the case might be, that's the kind of lazy way of putting teams together. I'll give you an example. In computer development, there is a popular way of designing software, because nobody really knows how best to write this stuff. That's called Agile. And so you'll get a group of people together, and they have different competencies in a team, and they'll say, okay, what's the problem? The problem is our computer program allows hackers in. Okay, how can we fix it? And they come up with any old solution. They basically say, will that work even basically? And if it does, then they do it. And then they keep refining that solution until it effectively has no more problems in it. So everybody kind of knows, I want to solve this problem. And they know that they need to contribute as much as they need to for the elements of the problem that persists until it's gone. So if a team had that kind of clarity about what they needed to achieve, could be a sales target, could be putting a project together, organizing an event, whatever the thing might be, but they're very clear about what it is they're responsible for and how they contribute to the team's work, then where they're sitting, you organize them in that way, and you'll probably get a little more cohesion happening and a little more value. I say that, and then there is another additional element you've got to consider. The personalities of the people. If you're an extroverted sort of personality, you're more likely to be happy sitting in the open, in an open plan office and chatting with everybody. If you're kind of more introverted, you probably would prefer something a little more quiet and isolated for you to do your best work. By the same token, the nature of the work, even in a team that you need to perform, is different and so has a different space requirement. Consider somebody who's, let's say, writing code again. These guys have got to sort of set their mind to work in code language. It's not normal speaking to somebody. And if they keep getting interrupted, they never kind of build what they call is a flow. They sort of need 45 minutes of uninterrupted sort of quiet contemplation, and then they start getting into the habit of what they need to do, and they start putting all that stuff out. If, however, you're working with a lot of meetings, a lot of consultations, checking with a lot of people, then you don't necessarily need to be sat aside on your own and isolated. And that's the kind of elements that you need to start considering about the teams that are working in any given office to see to what degree they will work together or not so much. Now, the complications, I suppose, come when most companies, when they become successful enough, will open up another office somewhere. Now they've got teams working together, but separated by different cities or different countries. That is a challenge. This is kind of where the technology was supposed to solve all of this with Skypes and everything else. And in some respects, it can, again, if you are clear about what it is a team has to achieve. Somebody in the other side of the world won't be having a meeting with you to resolve something. But if you can be clear to say, hey, guys sitting on the other side of the world, this is the part of the project that we need you to pick up on or the element you need to complete, then you're more likely to get that done than saying, we don't know what so-and-so is up to. Or
What strikes me here, Colin, is that it's so individual to companies and to cultures and to people who work within these organizations. And my sense of it is the companies that do anything radical are going to regret it. And companies that are mature about it and say to some people, we trust you to go and work at home and we don't need to see your face, but we want you to deliver the following 10 things, go off and deliver them, and we'll deal with the consequences of the workplace for those who sit at their desks for 8 hours a day moaning about how unfair it is. But they have a more grown up and flexible approach to employment. If you can be trusted to go and do the task that doesn't require you to be surrounded by 10 people and you're not managing a team of 10 or 20 people, well, why not simply allow that to happen?
You could be an envisioner, Bruce, because that is exactly the sentiment of one Dave Copeland, who for a very long time was Microsoft's chief envisioning officer. And he does talk about exactly those principles about these things are individualistic. These things are things we should defer to the employees to make decisions about. And managers who have got trust issues need to step aside. You're not helping your businesses anymore. Remember, our currency now in this sort of age is trust. If you can't get yourself to the point where you can trust people to do what they need to do and be clear about what it is they're doing, then you're a bad manager. So there's some additional elements I've added in. Meeting rooms.
Have you tried this, by the way, at work yet? Have you gone to your boss and said, are you a bad manager? Because you are if you won't let me do what I want to do. I want to see that conversation. Can you film it for me?
Because I'm thankfully in a position where that is kind of the way it operates. And the one that's been interesting for me, because we've got these two cities that we work across, is the teams that are split across two cities versus the teams that are given different roles in the cities tend to be more productive from what I've seen. So team one is based in one city. They get given a task to do. They tend to do it better than if that same team was split across the two cities, similar capacities and abilities, but they separated because of this sort of Allen Kirby type idea about people just getting together.
Yeah.
The other element, which I'll leave it for the online piece, is that, of course, retirement is no longer a thing that everybody just does when it comes to a certain age. We're going to need to work longer because we're going to live longer and, gosh, we need the cash. And so you're going to have work environments. You're going to have young people, middle-aged people, and much older people. And when you bring those groups together, that's going to get a bit more complicated as well. So when you push all that stuff together, you probably could be a business owner that says, well, then I just don't want staff, bring on the robots, which is fair. But looking at what these guys have come up with, there is a way to have humans work in the optimized workspaces in the best possible ways that will be meaningful to them and productive for you, and it can work.
There we go. Colin Cullis with Business Unusual. Think about it differently. Make the workplace a happy place and even allow some people who can be trusted to do the work. And if they don't do it, you bullet them. Not in the South African sense. You relieve them of their responsibility.